back to see the Phillies back in my hometown. Back to Philadelphia before the sun goes down. Wanna get back there to the ballpark lights. I gotta see the Phillies, what a beautiful sight. Gotta go cheer them on, help them score some runs. We wanna make the Phillies number one. I want you to tell everybody that I'm leaving today. I'm going back to Philadelphia, PA.
We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official
review.
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 The official.
Review.
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 Official.
Review.
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 Hey yo gang, what's up? It is the Upon Official Review Podcast back in action, doing our thing. It is me, Magnum, and your boy Murdoch, aka Arian Al, back with another episode of the Upon Official Review Podcast, your mom's favorite podcast, as we like to say. Yeah, it's time to talk some Philadelphia sports. We wish it was under better circumstances. Since we last talked, the Flyers have been eliminated.
Yep.
And the
Phillies have not played well, except for about a week.
Yeah, they had a little stretch.
Against bad teams. They haven't played well against good teams at all.
You're right.
Any good pitchers. They just look lethargic. Though, let's not forget, they've had slow starts before and turned it on in the second half. I remember a couple years ago, they were like 48-46 and like 7 games behind the Braves. And they went like 50 and...
They went on a tear. It was
50 and 20 the rest of the way or something like that. Yep. Hopefully they won't be put in the position where they have to do that this year. But it's looking like it might take something like that. But, you know.
We'll see. The NL East is... probably too competitive to get away with that this year, but
yeah, it really is. Every team, you know, we're in last place, and it's not like we played.
If I'm not mistaken, it's the tightest division in baseball, correct?
Yeah, and it's the only one. Although the Phillies, I guess, just slipped. It was the only one with all teams above 500 or 500 or better, and now the Phillies are, I think, just one game under 500 now. But
is it one or is it two after tonight?
Maybe it's two. I don't know.
It's two after tonight.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, but I mean, the AL East is probably still the best division, but it's certainly the best division in the National League, and certainly by far the second best division. And it's definitely closer to the AL East than it was in previous years. And used to be the AL East was just by far not even close. Now, you know, at least you can have a conversation about it. And the AL East is still a better division, but the NL East is definitely no slouch, and it's going to be, it's going to take, you're going to have to play good baseball to win this one.
Yeah, so. I'm actually taking a look at it right now. Baltimore is in the lead in the AL East with 28-16, and Boston's 21-22. And then over in the National League East, Washington is 26-17, and the Phillies, like we just said, two games at 500 at 21-23.
Right. Now the AL East, every team has a positive run differential, which is the only division that can say that.
That is true. Look at that.
And the NL East, the Mets are minus 31. The Phillies are even, the AL East is definitely, a good division. It's going to be hard to win. Any of the Yankees are going to be there in the end, and the Red Sox will too. Toronto, I think, is going to actually be good, and I don't see, you know, Tampa will be there. I think Baltimore. I mean, it's going to be a fun.
It will be a fun year
with the extra wild cards when it's coming down in September. It's going to be crazy, I think.
Yep.
I think it's going to be interesting. Both those two divisions will come down to the wire. The other divisions. Right now, I mean, looks like the Dodgers and the Cardinals, although as I look, Cincinnati tied them up, but they look like the two better teams by far. And then you've got Texas, which just looks scary good.
They look really good.
You figure Detroit's going to win the Central, although Detroit right now is four games back, but you figure they're going to turn on at some point. You can't figure Cleveland's going to win out there, so... I think the Eastern divisions are going to be where the best pennant races are this year in baseball, for sure.
I agree. Let's talk some Flyers before we get back to baseball. You know, let's lament, you know, what could have been a magical season. You know, obviously had that great first round against Pittsburgh. Showed us flashes. A lot of young, terrific talent on this team. Claude Giroux had his little window where he, you know, did look like arguably the best player in the league at top three
right.
minimum.
Right.
But, yeah, they just got kind of got out-hustled,
smoked.
Out-coached,
yeah.
sort of just kind of manhandled.
Out of everything.
Yeah, out of everything. Yeah, they were lucky not to get swept, honestly. Really, Kozlov played fairly well other than the the own goal. He played. He kind of kept us in that game. We could have gotten blown out just with the amount of time that they spent in our zone.
He made some good saves, and they. But he always gave up one kind of goal or even two kind of goals every game. But then he would make a lot of really good saves.
Yeah.
And he never gave up too many goals. But it's hard to say he played well because he always kind of just, you know, the goals they scored weren't like ones that you thought, okay, well, that was an easy goal. Like the defense really hung him out to dry. This
there, was
or that.
Lot, there were a lot of tip like, goals, though, and deflections.
Yeah, I
like
guess.
That.
I don't know. I think he played okay. He played better than the rest of the team, but not to say that's saying a lot because they really did not play well. But he didn't play that well either. He didn't play.
He didn't put the team
he
on his back, but I thought he played well.
No, and that's what you need, though. That's what you need. A guy that pays. He's the highest paid goalie in the NHL. He's getting paid to do that, and he did not.
That's true.
He didn't. He didn't play like Lundqvist, like Smith or Quick out in the Western Conference. You know those guys. That's what you need. And he just, you know, they spent honestly. It's frustrating, and I don't know. I guess next year he'll probably be better. I hope certainly because he knows what's coming. He had a year in Philly already. It's not going to be new, and you know what I mean. He's kind of used to it, more comfortable,
settling.
Yeah. So that's kind of what you kind of have to hope. I guess there's not really much else to hope for, but you know, it's like after so many years where the Flyers always went cheap with the goalies, especially Clark. And then they finally, Snyder came in and said, you know, you guys straight up have to get the best goalie on the market. I don't care what it takes. You have to do it. So I think that was kind of the mandate from the ownership last offseason. Unfortunately, Brizgalov was the best goalie available, and he wasn't really that good.
Yep.
Where it might have actually been better to just actually stick with Bob and whoever. Yep. For another year or whenever, till there was a definite top flight goalie available. So I don't know. Like I said, he gave up way too many weak goals. He just did it every game. It's like he made all the good saves in the game, and he gave up maybe two goals, maybe three goals when you know they had a lot of shots, and he could have given up worse. But you know those soft goals, man, those will kill you. You know, you can't have that in the playoffs, and. I thought maybe this team was a little different, but boy, Jersey really just manhandled him, and it wasn't
turns out
pretty.
They're probably just better than we thought, huh?
Yeah, I mean they're outplaying the Rangers, although it's 2-2 in that series right now. They're kind of carrying the play, especially the last couple games. They're playing well, and but still, the way they dominated, you just don't see that where they, you know. You know, you go 18 minutes without a shot, and that happened like six times in that series.
Yep.
I mean, and they just had it in our zone the entire time.
There's
no excuse for that because in game one, when we turned it on after the first period, we dominated them.
Yes.
And in parts of game two, we looked really good. Parts of game three, we looked really good. The one we lost in overtime.
Yep.
So we had the capability. We just, to me, the Flyers. I think it was all about effort. They thought they heard ESPN and Barry Melrose talking about how great they were, and they started believing it, and they thought they could just show up and smoke Jersey because everybody predicted that. And Jersey outworked them, and they never were able to turn it on. And it was just it was an embarrassing thing to watch as a Flyers fan. I was disgusted You know, it's one thing to lose, but don't get outworked.
Yeah, exactly.
For four games after you just are, you're down 3-1. You're in your own building, and you get outworked again. It's just like, really?
Yep.
Like, wow. There's no reason why they should have gotten outworked.
Yeah, it was incredibly frustrating.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's I imagine it was better, but it shouldn't have been that big of a difference.
Yeah.
And they should not have out hustled us every game.
Yeah. Tell me this. As a Philadelphia fan, I think we're sort of characterized by the type of fan that needs to see effort.
Absolutely. You know, we're a blue collar town.
Exactly.
Man.
Exactly. Right. So, do you think that other cities and other, you know, sports fans kind of think the same way we do? Or was it extra offensive to us as Philadelphians watching our team just get outworked?
Yeah, I mean, I do think other – it depends on the team. Depends on the city. Different cities – you know, L.A. is not going to feel that way, you know. But maybe, you know, Detroit would probably. You know what I mean? You know, maybe Boston. Maybe not quite, but Detroit definitely comes to mind. That's a blue collar. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure they probably – I don't know what the – you know, they're also Midwest, and Midwest takes it easy on their teams. They're all just, oh, you guys did good.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll never forget the time we went to the Cubs game at Wrigley.
Yeah,
and there was clearly a miscall by the umpire, and everybody in the stadium went, aw. And we were like, aw, wait, where are the Blues at?
Yeah, exactly. It was weird. It was weird hearing the aws. So, yeah, I mean, Detroit, I would think, is, you know, they probably want the hard workers too, but – yeah, you know, Philly definitely is, you know, would probably be offended more. I don't know. To me, there was a chance this year. They could have. There's no team that they couldn't have beat.
So tell me this. All right, tell me this. Then if it was just a case, you know, for the most part of the Flyers getting outworked, does that blame fall on the players? Does it fall on, you know, Giroux and the leader? Or does it fall on coaching?
Well. You know, you have to be in the locker room, really. You got to figure the coach was flipping out on him, though, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you can't imagine he was. So unless he was just like, oh, wow, you guys did really well today. We just got unlucky. We'll get him next game. You know, I can't imagine that's what he said.
No.
So actually, I blame Drew because he was like the chiefest offender trying to skate through five guys, make this pass through 75 different skates and legs instead of make the simple play and just – you know, Jersey's not a team. Pittsburgh lets you kind of get away with some bad habits and just all offense, no defense. Let's make fancy all-star plays.
Right.
Let's play like it's the all-star game.
That's what it looked like sometimes, yeah.
With hitting, but yeah. And you know, to think that you were – you know, that was a once in a 20 years kind of a series in the playoffs. You're not going to get away with that. And they played that same way, and Jersey ate him alive.
Yep.
And Giroux kept it up. And honestly, he was the leader. So I looked to him. You know, he needed to not play that way, and he needed to just play some good old-fashioned North American playoff hockey, not this European crap, you know?
Right.
Like, it's all fine, well, and good when you're scoring 8 goals a game, but, you know, this ain't Pittsburgh. Jersey's not letting you score 8 goals a game.
Nope.
You're not going to do it. You're just going to turn it over, and then they're going to get you. And
yep.
That's what happened. So I actually think the players, part of it, let's be honest, Chris Pronger.
Yeah, missed him bad.
Do you think that Jersey would be having those 3-minute shifts in our zone with Pronger back?
No way. Absolutely not. Yeah.
I've said it before many times. If you're a fan of the podcast, you've listened before. Pronger is just one of those guys you need in the playoffs. Big bruising defenseman. Not only is he great at defense, but he makes that crisp pass out of the defensive zone, hits the guy in stride. Great on the power play. He does everything. Plays 30 minutes a night. All your other defensemen are getting more rest, and they're able to play better because they're less tired. It's unbelievably invaluable to have a guy like that. So, you know, that hurt. But I thought the habits we got into against Pittsburgh really kind of cost us. And
right.
I thought it was the players. They were way overconfident. They, you know, it is hard to win a playoff game. I wrote a column about it. If you check out our blog, pawnofficialreview.com, but just winning one playoff game in the NHL is really hard. It takes everything you got, and it takes every guy on that team to give everything he has, you know, and that's why winning the cup is so hard. 'Cause you got to do it 16 times. And the other team's doing the same thing. That's the thing. We weren't giving it everything we had, and Jersey was. And you saw how easy it was for them to beat us, even though we were a better team than them.
Yep.
You know, effort makes that big of a difference.
It does. You know what? To me, the part that made it was so frustrating. Like, it even got to the point where it was hard to watch for me.
It was hard to watch.
Because yeah,
it was hard to watch.
When you're watching, like, you know, basketball or baseball or even football, I mean, I guess it could happen in football as well, but with the Devils series, the almost, you know, you would watch the majority of the period being spent in your end. It just looks like you're watching the same game. You know what I mean? It looks like you could, you know, walk away, come back, and it was still, they would still be in the zone. And you'd be like, has this game changed at all? Like, it just looked.
I know. And it was like a repeat every game.
Exactly.
Like, wow. They just totally ended up as a blur. All the games. Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah. So, like, you know, that doesn't, in basketball, at least they go up and down the court and they change where they are.
Right. Yeah.
It just looked like I was watching the same play on loop.
It was like make it, take it, and they made everyone.
Exactly.
They got the ball the entire game.
Yeah. It was brutal. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And then they would show little flashes of life, and then they would go right back to what it was.
Yep.
I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yep. So, I don't know. Hopefully they learn from this, but honestly, the goalie, you know, sucked. And Phoenix, their goalie now is playing really well. And I read something online, somebody saying, you know, that Phoenix defensive system, you
Smith
know, can make goalies look good. Yeah, Smith out there. And it, you know, they said, you know, it made Brizgalov look good, and you know, he doesn't look too good now, that's for sure. And, you know, we didn't help him out much either, but you can't let in a soft goal. You cannot do that. And he did it every stinking game. Like, literally, he let in like 12 soft goals in the playoffs. You know, out of how many games did we play? Played
definitely
11 games.
A lot in the Pittsburgh series.
Yeah, and it's just, I'm so sick of that. I am so sick of that. And you can say, oh, it wasn't the goalie's fault. No, it wasn't the goalie's fault. But aren't you tired of seeing the goalie give up crappy goals in the playoffs?
Yep.
Like, enough already. It's like, geez, we thought,
I
you know,
what,
we're stuck with this guy. So let's
I
hope
haven't watched much hockey after the Flyers, since the Flyers lost. And that's kind of par for the course for me. I usually won't watch as much Flyers, or you won't watch as much playoff hockey after the Flyers get eliminated until the finals. I'll watch the NHL finals.
Right,
but
right.
Otherwise, I'm all bitter from the Flyers losing. But when I watch Jonathan Quick, he is his name. Like, he looks so fast when he, you know, is going from post to post. You know, when it looks like somebody has an open net and then he just comes out of nowhere and snatches it, or, you know, just stones him, throws the pass down. Like, he looks really good. And I've never seen Brizgalov move that fast. He's had some moments, but at no kind of point have I ever seen him consistently look, like, fantastic. Like, I remember the goal where the guy wrapped around, and it just looked like Brizgalov wasn't paying attention. He had a couple of those goals that he allowed, where just looked like he wasn't really
just
even,
wasn't
like,
in the game.
Yeah, exactly,
like
wasn't in
the
game.
Team.
It was
just
like, man, you have got to react faster than that. You know, this is the playoffs. You can't just be like, you know, I don't know. So let me ask you this before we take a break. What, besides Pronger coming back, which we both agree needs to happen, what is the one change, whether it's a trade or whatever, what's one change that you would implement to affect the Flyers the most coming up next season?
Well, yeah, Pronger, who knows? He may be done, which would really suck, kind of like Primo, you know?
Yep.
The goalie has to be better. The team has to learn from this and realize that they have to work hard and they can't play this fancy schmancy crap that they played against Pittsburgh and Jersey.
Yep.
They got to make simple, smart plays, get it deep. You know, it sucks. Broder, you know, ugh, hate that guy. You know, it's tough because every time you get in deep, he's the third defenseman and he gets it right back out. You got to figure out a way to get it into the corners where he's not allowed to go when you're playing Jersey. That would have helped. You know, I feel like in the end, their young players are going to be better. So they need to just work hard and hope that their players do develop and hope the goalie's better. And I think they'll be, you know, they'll be contending again next year. And if Pronger's there, you know, they definitely would be one of the favorites, if not the favorite. I mean, they were the best team in the league when he was playing this year before he got hurt. And
right.
I think he would be again. So.
Well, let's hope he can come back strong and healthy and Give us a cup run. That'd be fantastic. All right, sir. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do What's Making Murdoch Mad. Then we'll talk the struggling, up and down Phillies. Sound cool?
Sounds good.
Let's do it. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
That is us. You guys stick around.
It's not about winning. It's about fun.
What's that?
What is fun? Let me spell it for you. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere and anytime at all.
Down here in the deep blue sea.
F is for fire that burns down the whole town. U's for uranium bombs. N is for no survivors. When you...
Plankton. Those things aren't what fun is all about. Now, do it like this. F is for friends who do stuff.
Never! That's completely idiotic.
Here, let me help you. F is for friends who do stuff together. U is for you and me. Try it!
N is for anywhere and anytime and all.
Down here in the deep blue sea.
Wait, I don't understand this. I feel all tingly inside. Should we stop?
No, that's how you're supposed to feel.
Well, I like it. Let's do it again.
Welcome back, gang. It is the Upon Official Review Podcast. Back in action, doing our thing. As always, you can find us online on facebook.com/official review. I hope you didn't buy the stock this week. Twitter.com/official review and uponofficialreview.com, where you can check us for updates. We should have a redesign done soon. All that good stuff. So, without further ado, my favorite segment of the show, and I'm sure your favorite as well, it is time for What's Making Murdoch Mad.
Who are you trying to get crazy with, S.A.? Don't you know I'm loco?
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Come after me. I'm a man.
Okay,
I'm
sir.
40.
It is time for What's Making Murdoch Mad. So, tell him, what's making you mad this week, sir?
This week, Ruben Amaro Jr. is making me mad. If you've listened to if you've listened to me, I don't like Charlie Manuel. I think he's a terrible manager. But I also think that Ruben Amaro Jr. is the guy who gives him contract extensions and lets him be the manager because he's his boss. I also think that the reason our offense is old and pretty much terrible this year and kind of getting worse is because he just keeps re-signing players. He's paying for past performance rather than what they're going to do in the future. Jimmy Rollins has 3 RBIs this year, and he was batting third for like 20 games.
Yes.
Freddie Galvis has 19 RBIs. You know, they both have Freddie Galvis has a better batting average. I mean, you know, yikes. Why – Freddie Galvis making $400,000. Jimmy Rollins is making $12 million, and he's given us – production that a $400,000 player can give us. You know, that $12 million could have been spent better elsewhere. It's the same with Ryan Howard. Chase Utley now, you know, they didn't re-extend him, but so I can't comment on, but every older guy, instead of, okay, we have a chance to change, you know, it's let's re-sign them, pay them for what they did in 2007, you know. And every player he get, you know, even Hunter Pence is the same. You know, how many guys they have on the team that can't work the count, hack at the first pitch, swing at balls 3 feet outside the zone? I mean, everyone on the team, and Hunter Pence is just as bad as anyone else. He's like 4 for 17 at just getting a sac fly to get a guy from third base with less than 2 outs. No one, the major league average is 48%, and the Phillies are worse in the majors. 37%.
Yeah,
and getting a guy
brutal.
In. That's I see horrible. That all of the and you, time. You wonder why we're losing games because we can't get a free run.
Yep.
And they just hack at anything. They won't work the count. Victorino the other day, you know, they walked the bases loaded on 4 pitches. And what does he do? Pops the first pitch out. And afterwards, what does he say? Oh, I'll do that every time. That was the pitch I was looking for. You know, bothers me about this team is not only are they terrible, but they think they're freaking Babe Ruth, and they will tell you that they won't even work to get better. You know, a professional hitter should be getting better as a veteran.
Right.
Should learn how to work the count. These guys won't do it. They think, wow, Jimmy Rollins, I am who I am. I'm not going to change. Like, what kind of attitude is that? You're getting $12 million to not work to get better? You think you can't possibly get better? I mean, nobody cannot get better. Everyone can work at what they do and get better. It's just arrogant and it's ridiculous. And you see this offense stinks right now. And that's our leaders is Rollins and Victorino. And these guys don't think they can get any better. They think they're perfect already, and they're not. And it drives me nuts because they refuse to work and get better. These guys are veterans now. They should be able to work the count. You know, none of these players – Howard, Pence, Rollins, Victorino, these guys pop the first pitch up. They swing at bad balls. They don't work the count. The only two players on the team that actually can make tough at bats is Chooch and Utley sometimes. And the rest of these guys, you know, we need to get some veteran professional hitters in here that make the other pitcher work. Enough of these five pitch innings, and the other pitcher is just like on vacation. They're just breezing right through the game, mowing us down, and we don't even make them sweat. I know. You know, last year against St. Louis, you know, the difference between their at-bats and our at-bats was unbelievable.
Yep.
Our pitchers were better, but boy, they worked us to death. Those guys had to work hard for every out.
Yep.
And our guys
– pitch innings.
You know, yeah, and they tire them out. They'd get to the bullpen. Our guys, you know, five pitch innings, six pitch innings, seven pitch innings. Those guys didn't even have to work. They just breeze right through us. You know, they could have pitched 12 innings against us.
Yep.
Just that kind of stuff. And every offseason, Ruben Amaro has a chance to do something different. To you know, I don't want to just, like I said, to me, Rollins, Victorino, Pence, and Howard, all four have the same approach. They're easy outs way too often. And they think that because they were an MVP 4 years ago that they're still great. And they you know. Howard, I will say he does – seem to work hard to try to get better. But some of these comments by Victorino and Rollins talking about how that's who I am, I'm not, you know, I'm not changing. It's like, you know, what kind of hubris that is, especially considering that we can't score. We're not actually good. So why would you think that you wouldn't want to change?
Right.
It's just, you know, Ruben Amaro lets it happen by letting these guys get these long extensions for past performance and letting Charlie be the manager who doesn't call these guys out and doesn't make them accountable for their actions and doesn't sit them on the bench. You know, yesterday, Washington, their manager, Davey Johnson, their closer came in and couldn't throw a strike. It was throwing wild pitches, and he yanked the mid-batter. You know,
yep.
Now Charlie Manuel would have let our closer lose 40 games for us, including games in the World Series, before he would dare to take a veteran closer out. Like, no, he wouldn't want to hurt these guys' feelings. Like, you know what? As long as they're getting that paycheck, forget their feelings. You know, the Washington guy is there to win ball games. Charlie's there to hold hands with his players to make sure they don't get their feelings hurt. I'm sick of this. You know, this has got to go. This veteran, the veterans, that, you know, we can never, you know, sit them down. Let's let them lose games for us instead. Like, that's better. Yeah, let's lose in the playoffs.
You know what that reminds me of? And I hate to interrupt what's making more iconic, because this is classic.
I'm on a roll.
Yeah, you are on a roll, dude. It's fantastic. Jim Fregosi used to do that. It used to drive me bonkers. That was that was when I was just falling in love with the Phillies as a teenager. Yep. And I used to watch him pitchers get shelled. They'd be in there for like six run innings, and they would still be out there. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's like last year with Cliff Lee. Some games when Cliff Lee couldn't pick the corner, he's got a straight fastball.
Yep.
And when he's throwing it down the middle, they're going to kill him.
Yep.
And he'd give up six or eight runs. You know, most of the time he was great, but, you know, just once in a while you have those games. And you watch him all year, and you've seen him in other years, and you know that he has those games sometimes. And he had one of those games in Games 2 against St. Louis last year. But, of course, Charlie leaves him in to lose the game, even though we all knew he was going to lose the game because he didn't have his stuff.
Yep.
It's like, dude, that's what the bullpen is for, man.
Exactly.
You don't be afraid to pull him out because it's the playoffs. Like, have you never seen him pitch before, Charlie? Sometimes he stinks. You got to – get him out. Cut your losses. And, of course, we'd lose the game and end up losing, you know, what could have been a world championship because Charlie's too afraid to hurt his feelings of his players instead of actually doing his job, which is to win games.
Yep.
Instead of holding the freaking hands of the players.
Yep.
That is bullcrap.
Hello.
Your job is to you play to win the
you
game.
Play to win the
Hello.
Game.
You don't play to make sure that none of these guys get their feelings hurt. Enough of this crap.
Exactly.
Fed up. I love Cliff Lee. He didn't have it that day. He shouldn't have been in there pitching in the seventh inning. Absolutely unexcusable. Nope. And it's the same thing with Brad Lidge in 2009, losing games in the World Series when he was the worst closer in the history of the league that year. No other manager ever would have let him kept losing games for us, except for Charlie, because he's afraid of the veterans. I've had enough. And Ruben needs to grow a pair of balls and do something about it. You know, get rid of Charlie, make the players realize they're actually accountable to get better, to work hard, and to stop making easy outs all over the place, not running. Polanco yesterday didn't tag up when a center fielder dives to catch the ball, and you're not tagging up, and you don't score on that with one out. The guy's on his stomach out there in center field, and you don't score, and we lose by a run. It's like, what are these guys doing? Their heads are so far up their asses, they don't even know how to play fundamental baseball anymore.
Basic.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Polanco can't draw a walk, save his life anyway. He's batting 280. He's on base percentage. Pretty much 280. He has no power. I've had enough. And the inmates are running the asylum. There's no accountability. They can do and say whatever they want, and nothing. No one will hold them accountable. So they keep doing it. You know what? Just because they won the division 5 years in a row does not make Charlie Manuel a good manager. They had the best players by far. I mean, he'd have to be a complete idiot not to win the division the last 5 years.
Yep. True.
And you know, the players did it because they were better. And now you see a year where we're not necessarily better, and our manager gets outmanaged every game. And yep. He's lost us already 4 or 5 games. You know, without him, we'd probably be in first place or close to it.
Yep.
And I've had enough with the Phillies right now. You know, I'm going to keep watching. I'm not saying that. But, you know, this something needs to happen. And Morrow needs to go out and get a real hitter, not a Hunter Pence who's just going to hack wildly at everything he sees. A guy like Carlos Beltran who will actually work the count and, you know, make the pitchers work. And, you know, you don't have to sign every veteran. You know, Victorino can go after this year. We need to get rid of some of these guys that hack at everything and think they don't have to work hard and get some veteran professional baseball players. You know, we're going to have Howard. We're going to have Utley. But you know what? Right now, Galvis is just as good as Rollins. Why can't we trade Rollins, use that $12 million salary to go trade for somebody else? And let Galvis play shortstop. He's just as good defensively.
Yes, true.
And he makes $500,000. You know, and if we could get a different leader in here, that's not going to say, I am who I am. I was the MVP in 2007. Maybe, you know, a guy like Darren Dalton who kicked the ass of a player that would say that in the clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what we need. You know, Utley's not that guy. He's quiet. He's not going to call people out. Rollins is kind of that guy, but he's
Utley's mean to other teams.
Yeah. I don't know. Something needs to happen, and I don't trust the manager to do it. I don't trust the general manager to do it because I don't think he's done a good job. But something needs to change, and Amaro needs to think outside the box here. Maybe trade Rollins, maybe trade Victorino, and get somebody else that has a different approach at the plate instead of these quick, easy outs with no discipline. Let's make these other pitchers work hard. You get to that middle relief, you know, that's not a good pitcher. Middle relievers are not good pitchers. They're the worst pitchers on the team. That's why they're middle relievers.
Yep.
You know, and you know, this can be solved. Now, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say we're pressing the panic button, but it's just a lot of stuff that makes me angry about the Phillies. And, you know, it could be changed, but it hasn't been. And something needs to give. Like I said, trade one of these guys, Rollins or Victorino, and go get somebody else with that salary. You know, like I said, I would have rather seen a guy like Carlos Beltran instead of Rollins. For the same price, he's got 13 home runs. But you know, somebody that works the count, somebody that can have a good professional at bat. We need more of those in the lineup. Right now, all we have is Chooch, and Utley does when he comes back. But the rest of these guys, they don't. You know, Worth used to work the count for us.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
and
he
we've missed
did.
That since he left. We really have. He saw the most pitches per plate appearance in the National League every year. And you know, it's different for him down there in Washington because he's trying too hard to be something he's not, which is like the man. He's a great complimentary piece, and we need a hitter like that. And I just don't, Hunter Pence will be better once Howard comes back and when he's in the five hole, same deal, when he doesn't maybe try to do too much. But it's just frustrating because even though I understand we're not going to be dominating the same way we were without Utley and Howard, if they just, you know,
worked hard and had good at bats and tagged up when they needed to and had their heads in the game, they'd have another four wins right now. And instead of 21 and 23, you're 25 and 19. That's a huge difference.
Yep.
So the Phillies right now are just really frustrating to watch, and I had to kind of take my – that was really long. What's making Murdoch mad? But I had to take my
– No. Out. See, because we were going to talk about Phillies anyway, and you talked a lot. You touched on most of the issues that I was going to bring up about the Phillies' struggles this year anyway. One thing you didn't really cover is the middle relief here, which is also brutal. And Charlie seems to keep these guys in there just way too long. When a guy doesn't have it that night, what's the deal? Why is he still in there?
Yeah, well, I'm actually not going to kill Charlie on that. He doesn't have many options. Bastardo kind of was iffy at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
Their bullpen settled down since Bastardo took over the eighth inning, because Qualls was pitching the eighth inning. He's awful.
He is horrible.
I don't know what happened to him, because he was a solid veteran guy that was okay. It wasn't great, but he wasn't this bad in previous years.
He looks like Danny.
I thought it was a good signing. Yeah, he does. I thought it was a good signing. He started out good, but he just completely has fallen apart. You know, we don't have a great bullpen. Maybe this new kid, who's the lefty?
I know you're talking about the kid.
Dykeman. Maybe he can play well, and maybe that'll help us, because he had one bad outing, but a couple good ones. Today he went got five outs, four strikeouts, only allowed one single, and pitched really well. And you know that would stabilize the bullpen quite a lot. But the other problem I have is Roy Halladay. To be honest, his ERA is fine. It's like 3.5, which isn't obviously great, but he lost about 2-3 miles an hour off his fastball.
Has he raised it that much?
Yeah, and it's made him a lot more hittable.
Definitely.
And if he's not injured, there's got to be something physically wrong, because, you know, he's getting older. I get that, but you don't lose 2-3 miles an hour in 6 months, you know? And him at 90 is a big difference than him at 93.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm a little nervous. And it's like, if he needs to spend some time with DL, fine, but he needs to do that and figure out a way to get that some life back on his fastball. It's been, you know, 6-7 weeks now, and he's, you know, I mean, he gave up a 6-0 lead against Atlanta. We lost the game today. He gave up 5 runs. He's not.
That was just weird. That was surreal to watch, because that game should have been over.
Yeah.
Everybody started flashing the stats when Halladay has a 4-run.
Yeah.
He's 107-0 or some kind of ridiculous stat.
And he hasn't pitched well this year.
Yeah.
And it's because he doesn't have that same fastball. He's not throwing as much because it's not as good. And I don't know what's wrong with him. I'm hoping there's something wrong with him, because if this is just who he is, he's not the best pitcher in baseball anymore. He's just going to be a good pitcher.
Right.
And probably the third best on our state. ERA is 3.58, and that's like Blanton's got a better ERA.
Right.
You know, that's not that good.
Look at Blanton. What a nice surprise that he's been.
He's been
really well as of recently.
One or two clunkers, but
he even said he's in the best like pitching shape he's been in since.
He's been in a while. He got a lot of rest. Yeah, it's been nice, you know. And hopefully Worley can keep pitching well when he comes back. Hamels has been awesome. Lee's been awesome. He doesn't have any wins, but he's been awesome. He's been great, really. Other than the last game was, you know, but his ERA is 2.5. That's obviously awesome, and the wins will come. He keeps pitching well, and he will. And Hamels 6-1. It's nice to see Hamels finally get some wins.
Yeah,
you know, for so long he was always the one that didn't get the run support. Yeah. It's finally he's getting it, which is nice. He may go for 20 wins this year, certainly on pace to eclipse that. But I'm a little worried about Halladay because that fastball just doesn't have it this year, and hopefully it's just like a little dead arm thing. But it's 7 weeks now. I don't know. You know, the Phillies with these injuries, they act like everybody's fine, nothing to see here. And then, bang, they're on the DL. So, I don't know. You know, you don't really trust them because they lie about that stuff.
All right, so
there's something got to be wrong. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
So, tell me this. Two questions here. First question, you know, at least fielding ground balls as of late. If he comes back, give me like the WAR statistic, wins over replacement. If he comes back, how much better does he make the Phillies? Is five games better, ten games better?
No, not 10. He's probably like a 4. I mean, the way he played yet last year is probably like a 4 win type of player. That's over a full season. Yeah, his prime was like an 8-9 win player.
Right.
But I don't know that you're going to see that type of Utley.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
So, you know, you're talking maybe like a 4, 4.5, which is still going to be better than Freddie Galvis, certainly. And Galvis will stick around because, you know, he can get, he'll need some days off, and so will
right.
Rollins.
Exactly.
Galvis can play, you know, wherever. So, but yeah, it's not going to, Utley will, see the thing about Utley and Howard both, either one, everybody else gets to go where they belong in the lineup. You know what I mean? Especially Howard, get that 4-hole hitter. Pence is not a cleanup hitter.
No.
Pence should be your 5-hole. Really, to me, Chooch, you know, almost should stay in the 5-hole. But, you know, Pence is your 5-hole. Then Chooch is your 6-hole. And that they don't have to do as much now. The pressure's off them, so they can just relax and do their job more. Though, to me, once Howard and Utley both come back, I wouldn't mind seeing Pence hit third. And Utley hit second, because then you split those lefties up rather than make the other manager's job too easy for them in those late innings. So
yeah, I totally agree with that.
I wouldn't mind seeing a righty hit third. And Pence, you know, I wouldn't mind that. And then you got also, you know, now you're bottom of your lineup. You got Victorino or Rollins. Well, it's not going to be Rollins, but Victorino or Pierre and Polanco down there.
Yep.
7-8. I mean, that's some good. Or Victorino would probably be 6, and Chooch would be 7. You know, Chooch would be the best 7 hitter in baseball.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? Yeah. So the lineup Absolutely. Is, you know, if Polanco's hitting 8 for you, that's a pretty good lineup right there.
Yeah, I can live with that.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, that it's so much deeper that way once those guys come back, but. So the offense will be better, but I just wish these guys would try to work at their games and not say this stuff like, I am who I am. I do that every time, you know, I'm not changing. That drives me nuts. Victorino and Rollins, you know, like, don't say it. If you think it, fine, don't say that. Say, I'm going to keep trying to work hard to get better, you know?
Exactly.
We don't want to hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's you're obviously, come on, because that's excusable. Like, you can't be in situations where you just need to move the runner along, or you just need
yeah.
to, and then you
Make
you
contact.
Pop out. Come on.
Yeah, and not running the bases like Polanco yeah. and Mayberry last night. It's just, this is ridiculous. You know, these are games we should be winning rather than losing. And,
right, so
and just
here's
blowing
a question
it.
For you then. I'm just not thinking about it. What's your biggest disappointment? What's the thing that you expected to see out of this team that you haven't seen yet?
Well, I didn't think the offense was going to suddenly be great. Probably Halliday, honestly, because like I said, his fastball just—it's really kind of alarming. As far as if he's actually healthy and pitching like this, I don't know what happened.
Right.
Because normally you'd lose 1 mile an hour over a year or something like that. Not 3 in 1 year. Not 2 to 3 in 1 year. So Halliday's been the most disappointing, just because he's pitched good. He's pitched well. Certainly not anywhere close to dominant the way we've seen it. I hope he can pick that back up, because if he doesn't, really, if you think about it, despite all the offensive struggles, if Howden and Lee were getting their normal 65%, you know, the team winning 65-70% of those games, we're in first place, just like that. Even with the offense the way they are, just Howden, you know, he's blown a couple, 3 games, you know, 3 games right now changes the record, you know, enormously. You know, instead of 2 games under, you know, and we're sitting here right now at 21-23. If we won 3 more games, we're 24-20. You know, and we're like 2 games out.
Yep.
So 2.5 games out we'd be if we won. 3
Yeah. To
more.
Me,
so,
I was really hoping that I don't know if this is my biggest surprise, but I was really hoping that Mayberry could continue his pace from last year or even get better.
Yeah.
He's been a real disappointment to me.
You know, when you're 28 and you never really broken into the big leagues, there's probably a reason.
Probably
for
a reason.
It.
But yeah, I thought
he
might have finally, because he was
maybe
great
we
in
thought
the second
maybe
half
he
last season.
Turned the corner, but it doesn't look like it,
yeah,
unfortunately.
I was hoping.
But, you know, he's not a bad guy to come as, like, you know, a bench guy or when your guys are hurt. You know,
actually,
you know, you definitely.
I've been pleasantly surprised by how well Pierre has played.
Yeah, Pierre's played really
he's played
well.
Really
batting
well.
320 or something like
yeah,
that. No,
exactly.
No power. You know, he doesn't draw that many walks. But, you know, if you can bat over 300, that's fine.
Yeah,
his on-base percentage is 36%, which is fine. You know, he's played very well. People wonder if he can keep it up, but as long as he does, you know, he's been great.
Yeah, I like the addition so far.
I'd rather have him in left field than Mayberry right now, certainly. But, yeah.
So, all right. If you could make one change before the All-Star break, as far as like a trade or an acquisition or something like that, what would it be?
I would just definitely get somebody in here with some power. Some power, some on-base percentage, you know, somebody who can work the count.
Right.
Give us professional bats, get a stack fly when we need it. You know, those hitters are not exactly growing on trees, but we need power bad because you know, we got a couple of hits and we will leave them stranded every time. And we need that 3-run homer. Like, it's just sing.
Philly's lineup misses that.
And you don't know if Howard's going to have the power. You know, you just don't know if he's going to be able to drive off that heel or what the deal is there. So, you know, definitely would add power. And, you know, that's what we need most.
Sounds good. All right, sir. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the legal procedure. Tweet of the week, we'll do a quick kind of rundown on what's happening in the playoffs. And we may or may not do Crossfire. We may save that. But so anyway, you guys can stick around for that. This is the Upon Official Review Podcast.
Last word in Philly sports.
You got it. You guys don't go anywhere.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say that it really irritates me that South Park would say red-haired people don't have souls, and it really hurts my feelings. I act like it doesn't, but it does really bad. For real. God! Teachers have souls, souls. You don't know me, you're not God. You don't know that the soul is dead. God! I don't see the difference. Teachers have souls, souls. I'm redheaded, and God made me that way. And God made teachers have souls, souls. Redheaded people.
What's up, everybody? It is the Upon Official Review Podcast. Back in action again, like I said before. Catch us uponofficialreview.com. Some new posts coming soon to enhance your Philadelphia sports experience, I like to say. Definitely will educate and entertain you simultaneously. Something I don't think you get. At least as well anywhere else. So, definitely be
checking. Absolutely not.
So, it is time for my segment, the illegal procedure that I dole out every podcast and tell you who's messing up, who is not doing what they should be doing, or who's just making an idiot out of themselves. So, let's get into that. The illegal procedure.
Well, they called us for illegal procedure.
Illegal procedure can be broken down.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I've been so wrong.
All right, guys, this week, the illegal procedure is, I think, it's just egregious. And there's been a lot of great actual, just been some good terminology, some good vocabulary words, so to speak, in this podcast. Earlier you heard hubris, and now you're hearing egregious. And for those of you who may not be as well schooled, as vocabularized. as this duo, egregious simply means, or maybe heinous. It is just very, it's very
striking.
Upsetting. Exactly. Yeah. Very just wrong in all sorts of ways. And my illegal procedure this week, it goes to none other than the Lakers front court, especially Andrew Bynum. For two reasons. First, Andrew Bynum, apparently he forgot that barbers existed, or something. Andrew Bynum looked like, and I could say this, he looked like he was auditioning for the sequel to Roots. Like, look, he just had this nasty.
It was like, yeah, it was weird. Dirty. Like, I saw that a couple times. I was like, man, it's just kind of like just random hairs going different ways and kind of unkempt.
It was completely unkempt. It was a mess, and it was dirty. Like, it looked like he just had, like, what I said, what I tweeted was, look like he swept the barbershop with his head. This mess, hair, and, like, dirt, and like lint that he clearly like was in his hair from what, you know, from the towel that he was using on the side. It was a mess. That's the first reason he gets the illegal procedure. Second reason is just showed up real small in some of those playoff games. I'll hit you with some stats in a second, but the effort that the Lakers front court just showed was really just looked weak and just looked, because the reality is the Thunder probably would have beaten them regardless, but they should have taken the Thunder to seven games. They had that kind of talent. Yeah. They have those kind of players.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
at least six.
Yep. Yeah.
Choked a couple times at the end.
They did. Yep. Yeah, they just did not bring the effort for 48 minutes.
Gasol, too. Let's call him out.
Yeah, exactly. That's at the front court. But yeah, Bynum especially. But yeah, Gasol, too. Yeah, just moments of the game where, you know, they didn't either demand the ball or they didn't get rebounds. Like, it's really a lack of effort when you don't get rebounds and you got two players on your team over 7 feet tall. Like,
yeah, and it's like the Flyers. It was like a lack of effort. Like, Gasol, Kobe passed it to him. It was game four, right? And they had a chance to win their second game within 24 hours and tie the series up 2-2. And they're down two or three, or it's tied, like, within the last 40 seconds. And Kobe gets double-teamed, passes Gasol, who drives in. And he's about 4 feet away, wide open. He could have gone all the way, got some contact, or he could have shot a wide open four-footer. Instead, he tries some ridiculous cross-court pass that gets easily intercepted and taken the other way for a dunk. And it was just, you know, it was a wussy play because he didn't want it. You know, it's like, you got to want that ball, man. You got to be like, especially with Kobe's on your team, the one chance you ever get to take a shot in crunch time, it's like, you know, and he's afraid of it. He's passing it to, you know, like Steve Blake. Like, who, what?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, what are you, nuts? Like, so yeah, I did not respect that at all.
Nope.
So, yeah, this is a good legal procedure. Yeah. I just had to interject that Paul Gasol. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
Giant wuss.
Yeah.
Giant wuss. Go back to Europe.
Yeah, their effort just really wasn't impressive and really any of the games. I just, if I was Kobe, I mean, Kobe is already notorious for not trusting his teammates.
Yeah.
But
that would have made it even worse. Exactly. You know, Kobe, whatever you want to say about him, he tried.
Oh, yeah.
He was given full effort. You know, he wants to win just about as anybody else ever has, I mean, other than Jordan, who was pathological about it. But
yeah, let's see. The Lakers in the regular season were second in rebounding. And granted, the way that, you know, the reason I actually tweeted this before the series started, I thought the Thunder were going to win just because I thought they were built really well insofar as, you know, mix of youth and veterans and, you know, rebounders, defenders, shot blockers.
Athleticism.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you can't have numbers like this where, you know, you're – there was one game I think Bynum had. I'm going to show you in a second here. Yeah.
I got a stat for you while you're looking that up.
Yeah.
The Lakers were like 10-4 first in the NBA in games decided by like three or less, maybe four or less in the regular season, and like 1-4 in the playoffs.
Wow.
You know, and the Thunder were actually kind of struggled that in that stat in the regular season and pulled out all these clutch games in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
But the Thunder, you know, Durant and Westbrook. And Harden, too, but Durant, Westbrook was awesome. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah,
I can't
are.
Wait to see them play the Spurs. That, to me, you know, the Heat, you know, assuming they hang on, they're up 3-2 now, looked really good tonight. Though I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Indiana win on their home court and bring it to a Game 7.
Game 7, yeah.
It would be a good series, either one of them against the Heat, but the Western Conference Finals is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's
to me, either
finals.
One of those teams is going to beat the Heat. And I don't see how anyone can beat San Antonio, to be honest, right now.
Yeah.
The way they're playing, Tim Duncan's playing like the old Duncan. They're just dominating. They're playing the right way. They're playing as a team. The offense they play. They always were great, boring defensive team. Now they're a great, boring defensive team with, like, the best offense in the league. It's unbelievable. But they're not boring at all anymore, but they're still great defensively.
Yep.
But – you know, I just, man, what, they won 18 in a row right now? It's just, it's insane. And
yeah,
they're blowing everybody out, too. Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, like, they were down 24 in Game 3 against the Clippers and won comfortably. Like, what?
They sure did.
They won, like, going away. Like, and they were down 24.
They sure did. They turned it on.
And it didn't even take them very long to take the lead. Like, less than, 10 minutes of game time. And it's like, they erased a 24-point lead like that. They just said, all right, you know what? It's time for the win.
Yeah, in game five.
So I'm looking forward to them versus Oklahoma.
in Game 5, which is obviously the, you know, the game that your season is on the line, Bynum is 4 for 10 from the field with 4 rebounds. What? How do you, 4 rebounds in 35 minutes? Like, that's not hard to get, I'm sorry. Especially a 7-footer.
You got to get you gotta, at 6'4".
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that just means, that, to me, that's effort. You know, that's hustle.
And his shots were barely hitting the rim, too. In the fourth, when, like, Kobe was on the bench for the first couple minutes when Oklahoma City made that run to take a huge lead, he had a couple shots that barely grazed the rim, bad shots, and just, like, hook shots from tough angles. And, you know, this didn't seem to care. Just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, good call throwing the flag on the Lakers because they definitely underachieved. They could have done better in that series. Now, the Oklahoma City maybe were the better team anyway, but they should have had a better showing than that, I thought. So
yeah, I'm glad to see we are agreed on that. But, yeah, I'm excited for the Western Conference Finals and the rest of the NBA playoffs. It's exciting. So with that said, let's move on to another fantastic segment, which I get to highlight a fantastic person on Twitter. It's time for the tweet of the week.
Tweet it. Justin Bieber gets defeated. Just tweet it.
All right, the tweet of the week this week is terrific. It's one of those tweets that's a reply to another tweet. This one I think you will particularly enjoy, Murdoch. It is right up your alley insofar as humor. For those of you who are on Twitter, there's a number of different Twitter accounts that kind of the only purpose of them is to tweet like facts and statistics or maybe jokes or something like that. Anyway, there's one account called UberFacts, UberFacts. And
okay.
UberFacts tweeted, "The first your mother joke on record is over 3,500 years old," which
what?
Is a crazy fact. I didn't know that. That's kind of weird, right? And
yeah,
somebody
1500 BC. Like, how do you even know?
Yeah, I have no idea. But the person tweeted back at them and said, "Your mom is over 3,500 years old."
That's a good one. Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Like, is that verifiable?
I have no idea how you actually find that.
Mom joke was 3,500 years old. Like, I don't know about that.
I don't know, but I love the fact that somebody replied to it with a mom joke.
Yeah,
that was terrific. So that was done by the sports.
Well played.
The sports chick, THA sports chick with a K, CHICK. So give her a follow.
Yeah, well played.
Tweet. Well played, definitely. So we actually talked a little bit of NBA with the illegal procedure, and we will do a myself and Dan, or maybe myself, Dan, and Al will all do an all-NBA podcast very shortly, definitely before the conference final start, excuse me. But give me some of your quick, you know, some quick thoughts on some of the other series maybe have gone different than you thought they would go. Maybe some surprises. Obviously, nobody thought the Sixers would be where they are.
Still playing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that Sixers are in it and the Lakers are out is pretty funny. So
definitely surprising.
Sort of your quick, you know, shorthand recap of you know, some of your memories so far.
Well, we touched, I think, on the Western Conference pretty well, but as far as the East, definitely surprised. That the I mean, obviously the Sixers caught two huge breaks when Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah both got hurt against Chicago. Either one of them stays in. I think Chicago probably wins the series.
They probably win that round. That's true.
Because they probably win game six. They lost by, a point or two?
Yeah,
and,
I think he made those two free throws.
They might have won even if the whoever on their team missed those two right before that. So they might have won just had they hit those. So but give the Sixers credit. You know, they are who they are, and they played well. You know,
yeah.
Chicago had played really well without Rose this year. Had a really good record. And the Sixers, you know, early in the year before Hawes got hurt, were playing really well and winning some close games. And they stopped winning all the close games, and they had a really bad record in close games. And they pulled. Now they're pulling them out again. So you know, a lot of people say those record in close games are kind of random. Because they, you know, teams just year to year it changes, so it's kind of like a random thing. Whether you're going to pull out like a, you know, 2-point game, 3-point game, it's like a 50-50 kind of a proposition, some people would say. And some people could say the Sixers, you know, are a young team and they finally learned how to win over the course of the year. And either one of those is fine with me. Maybe their luck turned, or maybe they just got better in the clutch, you know. I kind of think they probably got a little better in the clutch because they don't really have that one guy that's going to dominate and get the ball and make the shot late and things like that. So that's probably why they lost a lot of the close games. Boston doesn't look as good as I would have thought either. And maybe I'm not giving the Sixers enough credit because they played well defensively, you know, and really, you know, Boston is lucky that they're not down 3-2 right now.
Yep.
Because the Sixers could have won the first two, both on their home.
Yep, they could have. They could have beat them in Boston twice. That's right.
Yeah, so Boston, you know, the game five, I was watching the Sixers, you know, the first half, I just didn't have a good feeling about it. They hit a bunch of shots, and you knew that those shots were going to eventually stop falling. I just didn't think they could sustain, because even when they were hitting like 57% of their shots, they were only ahead by 3 points. So, and that did turn. Iguodala missed those two free throws. We had the possession. Instead of going up 10 or 11, we're only up 6, and that kind of fell apart after that on that clear path foul there. But, but you know, the fact that they're playing game 6 at home, you know, give the Sixers credit. They're playing hard. They may come out, you know, they may come out and beat Boston. I wouldn't be too surprised.
How shocked would you be if they won two games in a row and beat it?
No, I'd be shocked if they won a game 7. I wouldn't be shocked if they won game 6. I'd be totally shocked. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Honestly, as an NBA fan, here's the thing. I'm going to sound terrible to say this, but I kind of want the Celtics to win because the Celtics and Miami is a better matchup.
No, I totally understand.
Because here's
the thing.
The Sixers have no chance
to
win a
title.
No shot
to beat.
Right. Zero. It's zero. 0% chance, whether they beat Boston or not. Zero.
Yeah.
They will get swept by Miami. They will not come within 10, 15 points in any game.
Yeah.
Or the out west. Are you kidding? Like,
yeah,
if somehow Indiana came back, they could beat Indiana. They could even beat Indiana. They can make it all the way to the finals.
Yeah,
that still doesn't matter
right.
to me because it would be ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly. I'd rather see, you know, the Heat. Or Boston, even though I hate those teams, just because, you know, they'd give the West, it would be a fun finals
to
watch.
It would be a better
finals. I'd be rooting for the West against either Boston or Miami for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, I kind of want Boston to win. I don't know.
No, I'm on the same
part of
me side of the
like,
fence.
Boston, Miami would be a good, you know, conference final. You know, I guess in the end, I'll take the Sixers, really.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, is the...
Since we can't win
you enjoy
title.
It when it's inevitable that you're going to lose? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's completely inevitable, and so it's harder for you to enjoy it. Like, you'll root hard. Like, you'll root hard, but at the end of the game, you're just like, well, I knew we were going to lose.
Yeah.
Kind of like, it's hard to accept, but knowing that your team is outclassed from the gun, it's not, and it's not like...
Spurs
it's not like
Sixers.
Football.
Football,
any given Sunday, right?
Yes,
you throw
right,
another team up and get it, it could happen. It could happen for you.
Yeah, turnovers. Absolutely. Turnovers, you know, name of the game. You know, and it would be a one in a million shot just to win a game against either of those teams in the finals. So I just don't see it, especially the Spurs. And it's going to be the Spurs, I really think. I don't think the Spurs, I mean, they may not lose a game, really. You'd hope the Thunder can win a couple and make it a fun series, but they may just go and win all 16. I mean, the way they're playing is unbelievable. You'd figure they're going to slow down at some point, but who knows? You would have thought they would have before now, so.
It's kind of a cool matchup.
But yeah, the Sixers just, they can't do it, so hard for me to really care that much because I want a title. I've seen enough of my teams lose in the finals or in the conference finals. That doesn't really matter to me that much anymore. It's a good step for them, and this is going to help them in the future. So I'm happy about that. I'm you know proud of the way they've played. They've competed well, except for about 10 minutes in Game 5 there. But you know, in the end, really, let's face it, they got no shot to beat Miami, Oklahoma, or San Antonio. Zero. 0%.
It'll be one of the cool things about the San Antonio matchup too. Is it's kind of like the old guard, you know, with against
the new guy,
the
young
school.
Guns.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah,
so it'll be fun to watch. I'm definitely looking forward to that. You know, the Spurs, me and you actually talked about it on a previous podcast. So, like, we wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs just kind of made a run. Like,
yeah. They sure are. Yep.
And they are killing it right now. I wanted to see Memphis beat the Clippers because I knew that the Clippers had no shot against San Antonio, and San Antonio proved me right. He just said,
yeah.
Enough with you guys. We're going to dispense.
Well, Paul was a little banged up at that point, too.
He was.
But you know what? Honestly, they wouldn't have. They might have won a game if Paul was fully healthy.
Yeah,
right now,
right.
It's just tough.
Yeah.
The Spurs are too good.
Memphis was just a better matchup, but oh. Well.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Because they could have done some things down low.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, yeah.
Yep. And plus, you know, they beat them last year, and so they kind of figure they might have a little bit of a blueprint, even though the Spurs are a lot more healthy than they were last year. So let's go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Let's wrap it up and come back and get them next week. You guys, like I said, can always check us out online upon officialreview.com, facebook.com/officialreview, twitter.com/officialreview. We also have a Tumblr. It's officialreview.tumblr.com. That's T-U-M-B-L-R. Definitely check that out. A couple quick shout-outs.
Shout-out to everybody in the hood. Shout-out to everybody smoking that good. Shout-out to everybody in the club. Everybody get live from the geeks to the thugs.
You got to follow, if you like hoops, you got to follow Gotham Coach. It's Gotham, Gotem_coach. That's a great Twitter account, and it's a really good Tumblr account. The guy does a lot of original stuff. Check that out. You got to follow Dan, who's an NBA kind of contributor to Official Review. He's at Rebel with a Schnoz. It's Rebel with a S-H-N-O-Z. Football season will be upon us before too long. OTA started today. So you got to follow Eagles Couch. Spell just like it sounds. And also you got to follow my man at Grayson Brand. It's G-R-A-I-S-I-N Brand, B-R-A-N-D. Definitely got to check that out. Oh, and also, there was another really a solid tweet by a follower and a guy that I've been following for a long time, at Estebomb, E-S-T-E-B-O-M-B. He tweeted, somebody had asked if there was any way that Mike Richards could win a cup and Jeff Carter could not, and he was like,
yeah,
can we
please
kidnap him? Is that an option? So, my sentiments were similar. I said, we definitely don't want Carter to win one. You said it a couple weeks ago, too, during your
– Yeah, I just don't think he was so unclutch in
yeah.
the playoffs and whatever. And he didn't seem to – he wanted to party more than he wanted to win a cup. So, that's – you know, I partied. You know, I'm not saying partying is bad, but you know what? You know, when you get paid millions of dollars, you know, in the playoffs, your focus better be 100% on
winning. Time to step it up
and party in the off season. And I just thought that team, you know, there was too much. And Carter, he never did anything in the playoffs ever.
Invisible. Any shout outs from you, sir, before we close this down?
Actually, I did have one. I'm trying to think. I'm drawing a blank. We got a new follower at Nicole. I don't know how to pronounce this. Miliu, M-I-L-I-E-U-X.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's one of our new followers. Give her a shout out. Thanks for the follow, and follow her at Nicole Miliu. I guess it's all one word. It's M-I-L-I-E-U-X. So however that's pronounced. For sure, I butchered it, but she's cool.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah, I probably got close. So.
All
that's
right.
It.
Sounds
so,
good, man. Well, sir, I will definitely be talking to you soon, and you guys keep an eye on the website, and we'll catch you guys next time. Take it easy.
Peace.
I'm going home to Philadelphia, back in old PA, to see the greatest team in the USA. Wanna laugh at the fanatic doing his thing. Wanna stand up for the anthem, hear the people sing. I love to shout, it's out of here, that's one they'll never catch. I even love to do the seventh inning stretch. I wanna tell everybody that I'm on my way. I'm going back to see the Phillies today. Going back to Philadelphia, I've been living my dream. Back to catch the Phillies, they're my favorite team. You know, I've been to the East, I've been to the West, but Philly has the team that I love the best. I can live without the Yankees and the Dodgers, it's true. You can keep old Chicago and the Red Sox too. I'm going back to the place where the Phillies play. I'm going back to Philadelphia, PA. I'm gonna even tell everybody that I'm leaving today. I'm going back, back to Philadelphia, PA. Back to Philadelphia, PA.